Moncrief on News Talk.
We're going to King's Landing.
To what end?
Killing Vhagar. I cannot face that alone. With my dragon and yours together, we can kill Vhagar and her rider. Make it a son for a son.
Was this the Queen's command?
The Queen remains absent. I should be at Harrenhal, bending knees, but I must instead remain here to wage her war.
Or perhaps more simply, to await her return.
She has been gone for days. Too long. She is exposed.
She is grieving.
The mother grieves as the Queen shirks her duties.
It was a raven that brought me news of Lena's death. I existed for weeks in torment, refusing to believe what I'd been told. It was only when I saw my daughter's mortal remains that I could begin to mourn her. A raven has told Rhaenyra that her son is dead. She needs to know it for certain.
That's House of the Dragon. You can stream new episodes of Season 2 every Monday on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. James Dempsey is with us once again. James, I hope there's a recap because I can barely remember what happened in the first series.
Well, it's about 2 years since the first series ended. So, there are many, many, many recaps on YouTube. And I have to admit, when I was doing like my write-up of the various cast members and so on, you know, I was looking at their names going, there's too many heiresses and Edmonds and so on and so forth. I couldn't even tell who anyone was, and I needed to look at photographs of everyone. Like, yeah, here's the thing that House of the Dragon Season 1 managed to pull off, to my surprise. It managed to rub off the stink of the end of Game of Thrones, which ended with this particularly bad finale, right, and particularly bad final season. And when that was in production, I mean, HBO knew they were onto a winner, and I don't think they quite realised they were onto a stinker just yet. And in doing so, they planned various spin-offs, and one of them was an absolute catastrophe. There was a Naomi Watts starring, also Irish actress, Gough, I can't remember her first name now, that's very bad, but anyway, they produced a $30 million pilot episode for a show that never went anywhere. And when House of the Dragon came along, they took a kind of, you know, like a George R. R. Martin spare parts book, let's say, and decided to craft a show around that. And they realized, what did people like before? They liked originally, they liked Daenerys Targaryen, they liked the dragons, and they thought, we'll have a bit more of that, basically. And the first season was clunky because it had this split timeline. You know, the first couple of episodes, maybe the first four, were set 20 years further into the past than the 200 years where we find ourselves in this one. And they had this narrative jump forward. But I think a lot of people, and myself included, would say that the series, the first series and a season, gained momentum as as it kept going. And people really liked it by the end because ultimately, what works well here is it's somewhat scaled back. The kind of problem Game of Thrones faced in its final season was that it had all of these characters and it needed to do all this exposition. So it seemed like every single person was, you know, moving the plot along in every single scene in that final episode, whereas the kind of previous ones had been a lot of bawdy one-liners that people really, really liked, but maybe didn't service the plot that much. Whereas here we have a much more scaled-back thing, right? We have two sides of the same family warring over the throne because of their own ambitions to have it. And they have various dragons and they go to war. And there's a very, very simple narrative to follow here of familial violence and incest and dragon lore and so on and so forth. But all in, you know, I got up very, very early this morning in order to watch this to be prepared to talk about it later on and have done my research. And I found it, you know, a kind of, as Game of Thrones as it can get, a comfortable return to the Westeros world. Now, I say that despite the fact that it ends with a very brutal flourish, shall we say. I don't want to give any spoilers away. But, like, it feels like I'm back in the fold here of what I had expected, you know, let's say 8 or 9 years ago.
Oh, okay. That's close to rave review territory, James Dempsey.
Oh, look, I liked it. I definitely liked it. My main problem, I guess, is despite the fact that it's so pared back, is I still just don't roughly know who everyone is. Right?
Yeah.
Like, as in, you know, the characters' names. And kind of the problem here is that we've got a lot of silver-haired Targaryens that all look vaguely the same. So it's a little hard to keep entirely on top of, you know, of everyone. And I have to admit, I did have to do my homework of watching a recap. You know, I sat down and watched it about a week ago with my fiance beside me, and he was like, I was like, I don't remember any of this happening. And I, you know, I'm very grateful that I did that. So I would recommend everyone do that before dipping your toes back in. But like, what you get here is beautifully made stuff. You know, I think this is the second most expensive TV show ever made, and it looks like that in the sense that, you know, and this is creating a problem for everyone else in the sense that the money has been pouring in to make this production very, very polished. And it means that, like, other sci-fi and fantasy has to play catch up here, which means all of our streaming services are going to get more expensive, essentially.
Okay. All right. Well, so they have the spectacle in there, and that's why people, you know, are married or live with people, so they can say, who's that again? The person they live with. Also returning for their fourth season, The Boys. You can stream new episodes of season 4 every Thursday on Amazon Prime Video. Here's a clip.
Let her go.
Out of my way, kid.
It's going to be okay.
Do you promise?
I promise.
Who are you?
My name is Ryan, and I don't like bullies.
It's good. Pretty good. It's getting better.
Solid work, guys.
Ryan, on the day, you're going to throw me for real. I can take it.
Yeah. So
let's take 5, and we'll run it back.
Great, okay.
Dad?
Yeah.
Did I look dumb?
You got to put your back into it, you know? Like, you really got to sell it. You understand?
Are all safes like this? Like, with stunt people and rehearsals and stuff?
No, of course some of them are real. I've saved a lot of people. Well, this is just to help you get your sea legs, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan,
you want to rehearse the throw a few times?
Great idea.
Yeah.
Yes, excellent.
Hey, so just to be clear, we're not actually killing people on the day, am I right?
Just shut the f*** up.
Right, so James, I must say I liked The Boys because it's a very unusual take on the whole superhero trope, but I kind of started to feel in season 3 that we're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again rather than there was a big overarching move in the story.
Yeah, I think that is a fair comment to make. I kind of was the opposite to you in the sense that I didn't like it that much at the beginning, but over time, I don't know if I've just become less sensitive to its sheer violence and sexual gratuity, but over time, that's won me over, basically. What I think has been kind of surprising about The Boys is it is based on this comic book series by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson. It's created by a guy named Eric Kripke. He's best known for making Supernatural, which was this CW kind of teen goth show that ran for 15 seasons. So he knows how to stretch things out into you know, by that I mean stories and budgets, because that would be a network that would have had much, much, much lower budgets here. And the thing about The Boys is it came at just the right time where people were actually starting to go off superheroics as a, you know, in our cinema screens, and the kind of Marvel bubble, it's not quite fair to say that it has burst, but it is certainly, it's like a balloon that's, you know, 3 days old. Like, it's wrinkled and diminishing. And The Boys came along to tell superheroics from a very, you know, 18s plus reality. Extremely violent, extremely nihilistic, extremely critical of everything. And it also seemed to have timed itself very fortuitously with the kind of nascent Trump presidency and, you know, post last election as well, in the sense that we get at the very beginning of this season the kind of Superman character on trial for killing a member of the public very, very publicly, and we have people protesting against and for him and saying, like, you know, the justice is not being served, or is, depending on which side of the divide they fall on. So the show has become incredibly timely and satirical in that right. And for me, I kind of have stopped looking for the heart because there isn't really, there isn't like a heart center to this. Everyone is in it, all of the characters, and the main story at the very beginning begins with this guy named Huey, played by Jack Quaid, son of Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid. And he wants revenge for his daughter dying, or not his daughter, his girlfriend dying in a superhero related accident. And that kickstarts this campaign where he joins the boys who are trying to take down this massive conglomerate named Vault, which has created all of these superheroes. And now in the fourth season, we find ourselves with a battle over the future of Homelander's son, essentially. That's where we are this time around.
Yeah, okay.
What I like about it is brazen, right? It knows what it is, and it is absolutely violent, right? Like, as in, it is shocking, and still to this day. It's also, I think, a kind of worryingly true perspective of what real superheroics would be like, in the sense that it would be monetized and managed and PR controlled and all that kind of stuff. And it creates a very kind of dark mirror to our reality through a super anti-heroic lens, I guess. But I know where you're coming from as well. I can see that it wouldn't be absolutely to everyone's cup. It isn't everyone's cup of tea. I know the creator, Eric Kripke, has said he actually is reveling in making it almost as woke as it can be, because it's kind of stirring up the criticism. But what is remarkable about it is two things. First of all, it's a show about, you know, that's partially about criticizing massive conglomerates, and it's obviously airing on Amazon. But also, the other thing is that Amazon, which poured billions of dollars into creating the Lord of the Rings show, the Ring of Power, has seen that completely and utterly eclipsed by this. What people actually want is crass, violent storytelling, which is why we're back with House of the Dragon 2 as well.
But it's also now, in fairness, I mean, it's very violent, but a lot of the violence is quite funny. Even like when Huey's girlfriend dies, and the invention, the grim invention that they've used to kill people is being most of which you couldn't actually mention on the radio, but some of it's been extraordinary, really. And I must say, I think that like in the character of Homelander, because he's this kind of all powerful superhero, he's genuinely scary.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an excellent villain, right? Yeah. In the sense that he's sort of funny, but also very frightening. And I will say, there's some great cameos as well. I mean, there's Will Ferrell in the first three episodes here, and how they convinced Tilda Swinton to become the voice of an octopus who takes a, you know, well, I'm not going to go into details, but she does it very well, shall we?
Yes. Right. We'll move into onto our third show today. It's Gerard Carmichael reality show. You can stream all of season one now on Sky Comedy and Now TV. Here's a clip.
The reason I wanted to talk to you on camera is that I kind of felt like a distance between us. I have an idea of what it is, but what I think,
what do you
is
think
made
that
it
is?
Awkward. It's because I told you I have feelings for you and we didn't talk about it ever. That was like weird. I don't know if it was just too awkward to talk about or too... I don't know. Like, it's just like, I feel like you left me hanging out there a little bit. Like
when you said that, I think I replied with like something super mad, normal, regular. Like,
you laughed and called me stupid.
I did. And I think I just like brushed it off.
I know.
That's, yeah.
So you were avoiding it.
I never said that I wasn't. That was a lot to download. And now we're here. And I still don't know how to respond.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so maybe start by explaining who Gerard Carmichael is.
Okay, so Gerard Carmichael is a stand-up comedian, though probably it's fair to say he's more of a sit-down comedian, because his style is sitting down on a chair in front of his audience, telling long stories about his life and dealing with sort of his audience's reactions to that as they ask him questions. And he is a bit of an indie darling comedian who had his Nanette moment a couple of years ago with this special he recorded for HBO called Rathaniel, in which he, in his early 30s at this point, came came out as gay and how he had lived in North Carolina with incredibly Christian parents and his poor relationship with them in reaction to his sexuality. And it won him an Emmy, this special, which is also available on Sky to watch. And then he has gone on to appear in various other things, including his own three-season sitcom. But here he basically does a kind of, how I would describe this is if you were watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians and it was made by like A24, the darling indie produced, you know, production house of movies, right? So he is making a completely an utter, as you would expect, reality TV show, following him around, following his life, talking heads. It's intercut with bits of his comedy, but like what we heard in the opening clip there is a very good example of what the show is like. He had fallen in love with this friend of his. He had told him, his friend reacted kind of indifferently, and then he invites him over to talk about this and points the cameras directly at him, and we get incredibly awkward conversations but that feel really real and honest and at times incredibly funny. And what's remarkable about a show like this is, you know, like if you watch, not that I watch that or have watched that much of like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but you know, everything in that show is controlled in terms of their image, how it is plotted, where they're, you know, how even they're going to react in certain situations. And, you know, a lot of reality shows are called structured reality, where there's a vague kind of, not script to follow, but a outline of where things are going to go. And here we get this very, very funny and outspoken comedian pointing that kind of thing onto normal people in his life who don't necessarily have the script to follow, but have to, or who have agreed to engage with the process. So you have him, you know, like perhaps the most interesting thing is, you know, we have him and his relationship with his boyfriend, Mike, but we keep seeing him cheating on his boyfriend over and over and over and over again across multiple episodes. And I kind of really admired how brazen, you know, Gerard Carmichael is here at not being likable, because even though he's very funny and witty and clever, he's kind of a bad person, or like that's what he would reveal in this reality show. So it's a very strange but really interesting and worthy addition to the reality canon, and I would absolutely lap up a second season.
Yeah, and has Mike presumably seen the first season at this point?
Well, their relationship progresses in ways I won't go into because it might qualify as a spoiler throughout the season, but he is aware of the cheating as it's going on, because we also follow them when they're in like relationship counselling and discussing this very openly, because everything here is, you know, everything is up for fair game. Like there's a brilliant episode where he goes on a road trip with his father, and he's talking to him about, you know, his father who's this, you know, Southern Christian. And he's talking very frankly to his, you know, his father in ways, you know, about his sex life in ways that are really, really, really uncomfortable for everyone, let alone us, the viewers, or his father who's driving this like Winnebago around South Carolina or North Carolina. I can't quite remember where it is. But all in, it's just a very strange reality TV show, but I really liked it.
Okay, well, maybe worth checking out. Right, those three shows were House of the Dragon. You can stream new episodes of Season 2 every Monday on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. The Boys, you can stream new episodes of Season 4 every Thursday on Amazon Prime. And a Gerard Carmichael reality show, you can stream all of Season 1 now on Sky Comedy and Now TV. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.